What's up there, ladies and gentlemen? It is I, Piper the DJ, with another round of trending mobile technology right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is episode 70, coming right at you. This week's special guest is Jason Rivera, coming in from blogtalkradio.com/CSTC, where he hosts Ask and Answered every Wednesday night. Rejoin that show right now. Already in progress. Did you get the internet raping that we got in Illinois? Our bandwidth has been shit all week. Yeah. Last week it was. It's been halfway decent this week.
When all the cold weather hit, I mean, our internet went complete to crap. I mean, I could not do... I felt like I was on 56K all over again.
Yeah, I had... I don't know if you listened to last week's show, but I had Mart on, only one Mart. And we made it all the way up. I was peaking maybe a meg up and a meg down. And that was good, considering I was usually pulling maybe a quarter meg, maybe 0.25K earlier that week. I mean, my lady couldn't even get on to play. Yank couldn't even get on the Xbox. Netflix wasn't working, nothing. It's been... We've been running about 2 megs all week, but it's just like, oh my God, please. You know,
one of the things I had too was, for whatever reason, after that little flood out of that little internet flood out that I had, what happened after that was that, none of my shit could connect. My Xbox 360 couldn't connect.
Right.
My computer was still connected, but like everything else internet-wise wouldn't connect. And for whatever reason, somehow, and nobody touches, you know, the configuration of the network, but me really, somehow, and maybe it was Comcast thing by accident because I had so many troubles with the connection, had turned all the family parental controls on, so it was blocking every other device other than my computer.
Oh.
Which was weird.
And this was on Comcast send?
Yeah. But I think what happened is, I mean, I was able to go into the router and disable all the parental controls again, but I'm just surprised that they turned back on. And that was around the time all the internet was slowing to a crawl and all of that. So I'm just wondering if, you know, all the weather and everything else just caused a series of problems.
Well, I made the amazing discovery a couple of weeks ago that Illinois, when it comes to Comcast, we're piggybacked off the same backbone as Indiana.
Yeah.
And it was, I want to say it was a little over a month ago, Indiana went down and took down Indiana and Illinois all the way.
Wow.
And we were like, now I'm paying this bill, so, you know, but I'm only getting one meg, really? You know, so, but that's going to be going away soon because I'm switching to satellite. I've had enough of Comcast.
I got you. Yeah, I mean, usually here they're still pretty good. I mean, they're better than the alternative that is AT&T, which,
right.
I mean, I refuse to get AT&T because of the fact that they said too many stupid things in regards to their internet service here, so.
Yeah, they do the same thing here. I was real close because as a student, I get certain discounts.
Yeah.
And my advisor said, well, check into AT&T. This is the information you need to give them, and you'll get this type of discount.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, we can do that. You know, for as long as you're in school, you get this type of discount and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, you got to get the complete package, you know, internet, TV, phone. I'm a cord cutter. I've been a cord cutter for years, so all I need is an internet connection. I'm good to go.
Exactly.
And they're like, so you get the parental controls, you got to get phone, TV, and internet, and all this and everything else. And in the end, your final monthly bill is going to be this. And I'm like, this call is over. I'm done. I'm like, you just lost a sale.
Yeah, what I found hilarious now is that, and the cable companies are infuriated. Obviously, you heard about all the wrestling stuff they're doing, WWE Network.
Oh,
and because
yeah.
of the fact...
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
for $10 a month, you're going to be able to get the pay-per-views and, you know, every episode of Raw and SmackDown and NXT, you know, after it's over, I mean, NXT will be live anyway on the thing, but after it's over, Raw and SmackDown are going to be on this app. So I'm thinking, Well, there you go. You've now eliminated the need to worry about television ratings or fighting with football season, because people who have to work and aren't home on Mondays or have other shit they gotta do are just gonna be able to watch Raw at their leisure, and I think that that's gonna change a lot of shit around. But hey, you know, $10 a month isn't bad. Even if you're, you know, a casual wrestling fan and not a diehard wrestling fan, that's not bad to watch Raw whenever you want with basically no commercials.
Now, this network is also designed to be on demand, right? So, I mean, like, if you're at work on Monday, but you're off on Tuesday, you can, like, dial it up on demand, right?
Yeah, and because it's going through their little app, so you'll be able to stream it like Netflix on any mobile device.
Oh, sweet.
And on your Xbox and all of that. So I think that I have to say that, you know, they haven't made maybe the best creative decisions, and, you know, we've all been critical about that on a wrestling standpoint, but business-wise, this is a very – McMahon has outdone himself with this deal. I think that what he's done here, much like with the pay-per-view era, is going to change the way that we watch television, because what's going to happen is a lot more, you know, a lot of other companies are probably going to look into this. Hey, an on-demand service, we could offer this archive of footage, $10 a month, hey. You know?
Right. Yeah. And, I mean, I've heard a couple people talk about the network and the launch and everything like that. And I've done some reading on it, and I'm just like, this is big. I mean, cause they're telling USA, go screw yourself. They're telling, everybody else every other network that they have associated, go screw yourself. They're telling the cable companies and the satellite providers, go screw yourself, we can handle it ourselves. And that's what they're doing. I mean, especially making Raw and SmackDown and NXT and everything else on demand like that. I mean, really? Plus, they've got the width of the WWE library and the WCW library, and, I mean, all of it. It's just, boom, all there.
The thing that's funny about it is that, you know, obviously they're going to still be on television, which is smart on their part as well for those who don't get the network. But right. DirecTV, which coincidentally is owned by AT&T, is furious about this network and said, well, we'll have to decide, we'll have to look into how we do business with the WWE going forward, because they're mad because people will not be spending, they're worried it's going to cut into the $50+ they charge per pay-per-view.
Well, they also got their ass handed to them when net neutrality got turned over.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something else that shoots them in the foot, because they can say, okay, well, we'll charge WWE X plus one, but we'll only charge Jason Rivera X, because we know Jason Rivera is going to get 50 hits and WWE is going to get 100. So we need to make sure that we get more money from them, but we're going to give them priority over Jason Rivera.
Yeah.
You know, net neutrality in the mobile space, you know, who's to say, okay, on this scale, Google.com is number one, WWE is number two, Yahoo's number three, Netflix is number four. Who's to make that scale and who's to determine? I mean, you can't base it on hits per day, because it could change. You know, not everybody's going to be able to get on WWE Network on Sunday, so you know, there's going to be a lot of people that'll be there for the Royal Rumble to get it on the network, but you know, how many times is that going to go to DVR?
Yeah, you know?
But at the same time, though, $10 a month. I mean, $10 a month over the course of a year is $120. How much is a pay-per-view where you live?
Yeah, it's $50-$60.
Same here. I mean, Royal Rumble, you're looking at, I think it's $49.95 here, I think, last time I looked. Mania, you're looking at a $75 bill without even breaking a sweat. Okay? Now, are you, with the WWE, I don't remember seeing this in any of the press releases. But with the WWE Network, do you have to, like, pay extra for the Big Four?
No.
It's
$10 a month flat. They do have a 6-month commitment when you first sign up to it, where, you know, you'll get an early termination charge if you decide to terminate for whatever reason before those 6 months. But $10 a month and starting with WrestleMania 30, every WWE pay-per-view will be free as part of the network. You'll be able to access all WWE footage on demand, all WCW footage, anything in their tape library, will gradually be there on demand. Every episode of Raw, they are not even cutting matches with Chris Benoit off of Raw. Anything with Benoit will have a warning that it contains, Benoit, and they don't condone the actions which he is believed to have committed. So you're getting everything for that. And, again, you'll get Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Main Event, all their current programming will be available. You don't even need a DVR anymore. You just basically can go to that.
See, I'm a big WCW fan. Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't big on the Monday Night Wars. Okay. Matter of fact, there was a long time where I did not like WWE. WWF I was cool with. WWE, when it first came into existence and there was a lot of the craziness going on there, I wasn't big on it, but I was huge on WCW, and I was devastated when Shane bought the company and shut it down and didn't do nothing about it. I was just like, really?
Yeah. You know,
and then we've got the poop stain, which is TNA, but we're not going to talk about that right now. You know, but you think about it, just all the pay-per-views on WCW, all the pay-per-views on WWE, then you think about all the movies. I mean,
yep.
Steve Austin, he's in, what, one movie every 2 years?
Now he's, I think, even more than that. I mean, a lot of them go direct to video, but he's in a good bit of movies.
And then they're telling me that there's a rumor floating around there someplace that Steve Austin's going to do a web show on the network.
I mean, yeah. And the thing is, according to what I'm hearing, the network, despite the fact that WWE is a PG rating, whatever's on the network will be sort of across the spectrum. So they're saying, you know, hey, check the show. Make sure that the show is for you. So they are going to have some content. I mean, because they're going to have ECW content too, and that's violent, and that's very sexual, very, you know, ECW. You're going to have extreme content again, which means that there's a potential for a lot of new shows to not fall under the entirely PG guidelines, for them to show something that may stream at like 11 at night, 12 midnight. Hey, this show is not exactly for kids. This is a show with Steve Austin or something of that nature. I mean, they've got so many options, but I mean, I love it because of the fact that when you think about this, with the network, like I told you, it's changing the way we're going to do television because, I mean, how long before if this is successful, what's not to say ABC, NBC, CBS all start following suit? They come out with apps. You can watch their shows on demand because, again, this is something that's available on not just your computer but mobile devices, which means that, hey, if you're on the go or you're in the air and you happen to have Wi-Fi on your flight and you happen to decide, oh, hey, I want to watch Elementary on CBS and I can't watch it at the time that it's on, and CBS comes out with an app and says, hey, you can watch anything that's on our network on demand. Hey, this is going to change the way that things are done. Especially as you know, like you just said, you can operate with just the internet. You don't entirely need a cable subscriber. We've seen Comcast get greedier. We've seen DirecTV get greedier. This is going to change everything.
And this is, true words were never spoken, Jason. And I know that this is something that, that affects, I mean, everybody that starts with the core people that we were initially introduced to that brought us all together. We all met through a wrestling podcast. So we all have that common ground. We all have that sense of familiarity and knowing that all this is going to come together at once, knowing all of this is going to be available like that. I mean, that's just but the line does have to be drawn, okay, in my personal opinion. Yeah, sure, they're allowing Chris Benoit with the warning, but the line must be drawn definitively at China porn.
Yeah, I hope we don't see any of that.
We've had that conversation and discussion a couple different times. I've heard you talk about it. I've cited a couple different things about it. the line has to go right there, because I don't care the age or restriction or precautions or restrictions or anything that nature, but
I don't think we'll see that, just because Hunter is not going to let China anywhere near him or anything that he's a part of.
I would agree with that, and I think Hunter would Triple H would make that distinction, as well as Vince, because you know, you can have the NC-17, you can have the rated R, but when you start getting into China porn, you know, you're crossing that line. I mean,
I think we're safe from that, though.
Yeah, for more references, visit JasonRivera.com, where he has reviewed.
That's gone now. Actually, we've transitioned the website to listentothisshow.com, which is more centered around the Ask podcast. Previous articles from JasonRivera.com will be showing up gradually over time, but probably the more the China porn is probably going to stay buried, as it rightfully should.
As it should, but, yes.
That's because of the fact that, as you know, JasonRivera.com, because of a lot of the things that we covered on the site, was not available at college campuses, workplaces, and it's due in part to content like the China porn. So I'm not exactly toning down my style of writing, but I am toning down on the stuff that I know without a shadow of a doubt will make the site inaccessible from public places.
Sure. So. And if there's nothing else that I respect about Jason Rivera, it's the fact that if there's something that's on his mind and he feels it is worthy for other people to hear, he will give the information, period, plain and simple. Exactly. That's one thing that I've learned from Jason. He and I both have a common theme that we like to share information. We both have our own ways of doing it. But you know, one thing that I can definitely respect about you, Jason, is that if you got something on your mind, you tell it, and you tell it, you tell it like it is. You don't butter it up or embellish it or say, well, you know, maybe we should. No, I mean, if this is shit, you're going to say it's shit, and you're going to tell why and give a valid reason. And that is something that I've always respected about you. Even though your opinion might not be the popular opinion, you do give it, and you have valid sense. And anybody that comes on this show, I give the challenge. I'm like, just because the words come out of my mouth don't mean it's right.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
I don't demand everybody, you know, well, you know, I'll let you on my show if you agree with everything that I say. No. Understand. Because it comes out of my mouth doesn't mean that it's right. I mean, Mr. Old School, he and I go toe-to-toe regularly about things. I welcome people to disagree with me. Okay?
Exactly.
And if it comes down to a thing where I've got to say, oh, well, you know, you've got your opinion, I've got mine, you know, we're just going to have a difference of opinion, that's cool.
Exactly.
I mean
– exactly. I know – you've probably heard me say it, is that we come from a generation where it was okay not to agree with each other, but you were still cool. You'd still go drink a beer, have some fun. You may have a completely different philosophy from the guy next to you, but we come from that generation where that was okay. I think going into the newer generations, it's become, I guess, less acceptable where if anybody disagrees with you, you have to have some sort of vendetta with them. And that's not the way it works. I mean, you can't learn anything like that.
People have gotten really vengeful in the past 5 or 10 years. And it's just, you know, it was a thing. You and I also come from a time where if you had a problem with somebody, you sat down, you discussed it, you figured out what the problem was. If it wound up coming to blows, it went to blows. But when it was all said and done, you guys were at the bar, you were kicking back a beer, and you were laughing about it.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's just that's the way it was. Now it's just – well, you know, I've got to go after you, I've got to go after your mother, I've got to go after your dog, and then just for the inconvenience, I've got to go after somebody else. No, it ain't, you know, it's an A-B conversation. See yourself out of it before E jumps over D and kicks the F out of you like a G. That's just the bottom line. My girlfriend got that off the internet a couple days ago. It's kind of funny. If you sit down and read about it, this is an A-B conversation. See yourself out of it before E jumps over D and kicks the F out of you like a G. And that brought a smile on my face. I definitely enjoyed that. Well, you know, this is, we're just jumping right into this, and I definitely appreciate, you know, that the WWE Network, this is a mobile show, but talking about the WWE app, I mean, it is available on iOS, it is available on Android. I've utilized it a couple different times. I mean, I don't use it, I don't have it installed currently, just for the simple fact that it got to a point where it was just giving me the same stuff that I already knew.
Yeah.
But, you know, this, the WWE Network going streaming affects the mobile space, because if you don't have a mobile package that can tether, or that can support the bandwidth, or that can support the bandwidth cap or the speed, this affects the mobile space. I mean, you're on T-Mobile, right, Jason?
Yeah, T-Mobile. Okay.
I presume that you're on the 12 gig plan that they've got going on, that they're touting all over with everybody else, high speed and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, so this would work in your favor. A little bit of backstory. Based on the research I've done, the average two-hour show, two-hour movie, you're going to consume about 2 gigs of data.
Streaming. Yeah, and I'm sure, is that on standard, or is that if you set it to the high definition settings? Which, you know, some people are just high definition whores.
That's actually low def.
Yeah, so, I mean, on HD, that's, you're probably looking at your entire bandwidth, period.
Yeah. So if you're talking about WWE, where actually Vince was actually talking about, what was it? Was it on the Spanish announce table? Maybe the Spanish announce table. It's Captain Awesome and T-Mac right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, typically posted Wednesday morning, where they were talking about Vince had said something about everything going to 4K or high def by the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I'm just, I mean, if you're talking about 4K, you know, high def going mobile, for one, that's overkill as far as I'm concerned in the mobile space, because average screens are
not that big.
Yeah, I was going to say they're 1080p. That's the max you're going to get. But if you're using it as like a hub device or a stream device or maybe a Wi-Fi device, that'd be a different story.
Exactly.
Like MHL Export or something like that. I use that all the time on my Note and my Nexus. It's great. Yeah. It's beautiful. But, you know, if you don't have the data to support that, and a lot of these carriers like AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, they still have their, quote, unlimited plan. But what they don't tell you is they do eventually throttle you if they can prove that you're using data.
Yeah, they cap you at a certain point.
Yeah, after a certain point.
I mean, you'll still be able to access everything, but you go down to like a 3G speed or something of that nature. And especially now, if you're on some of the smaller mobile services, you're looking at like Boost and I forget the one out of Texas. It's very similar. I think it's like
Clearwire.
Yeah, Clearwire, and I think there's one with like a Turtle. I forget what that's called. I mean, if you're on one of those lower things, you're definitely not in the position to use up all your bandwidth. I mean, make sure you're attached to somebody's Wi-Fi,
right?
Which a lot of people don't realize. I mean, a lot of people, they just sort of sit there and leave it on 4Gs. But if you're somewhere that has free internet and doesn't require a password or whatever, it's an open connection, say, hey, it's open, then make sure while you're there, change your data signal to that Wi-Fi signal. Make the most out of it. Otherwise, you're going to find yourself shit out of luck when you actually need a 4G in a certain area.
Well, typically speaking, most ISPs or most mobile providers, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, among them, they cap their data. They don't shut you off, but they will limit you. After you, of the ones I've seen recently, 3 gigs.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, you're on 12 gigs. I'm on 12 gigs. I got my lady hooked up on 12 gigs on her HTC One, all going through T-Mobile. And T-Mobile does pretty good here in Illinois. Okay. Now, granted, I've said it before. I'll say it again. I do work in a factory where if you look at the T-Mobile map, there's a little white dot in the entire state of Illinois. And guess where I work?
Ha! In the white dot.
I work in the white dot, which is annoying as hell because the boss won't give me the password for the Wi-Fi router. But I do get edge speed. Okay, yeah. So it just takes a little bit longer for me to get my email. Takes a little bit longer for me to hit a web page. If I want to download something, I do it before I leave for work because I've got the home Wi-Fi and I've got 4G at the house and all that kind of stuff. But I work in that little dot. Go figure.
Oh God.
But at school, I've got Wi-Fi there and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. If you're in a school though, you're doing pretty well because of the fact that school usually has the fastest internet speeds.
Oh yeah, we went back into school on Monday and I jumped on the Wi-Fi and I did a speed test and they're averaging 16 up and 20 down.
Whew, not bad. Not bad at all.
I was impressed.
Happy. I'll tell you, the WWE app, I mean, I don't have it because of the fact that I don't like the idea of spam and being propaganded constantly. I mean, I feel like on principle alone, when I watch wrestling on TV and they have Michael Cole tell you, download the app 12 times in 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
That's enough for me not to download the app because it's one of those things like, why should I download this? Because you're shilling this so hard. But I said it, fuck, I'm going to have to download the app. I'm going to have to download it now to get the WWE Network. Well played, WWE, because I was not going to download it otherwise because I don't like to fill my phone with redundant apps and you know, bloat. I mean, for lack of a better word, it's bloat because there are a lot of apps out there, and I'm actually doing the parentheses thing with my fingers when I say that, and all they are is basically a mobile browser version of the same site that if you went to that site via your inherent browser, you would get the exact same thing.
Right, and
that's
for sure. That's definitely, and all it is it's there. I'm sure there's cookies in there, and I'm sure there's other stuff in there, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of other crazy crap that's in there that we don't know about, stuck in the permissions someplace.
Yeah.
But you know, the bottom line is, when they thought about this, and when they put this together and delivered it, they put a lot of work into it. Because the WWE Network works with the WWE app. The WWE app works with the WWE Network. I mean, it's a nice little circle, and it works together. You can utilize iPad, Android tablets as a second screen. You know, yep. if you've got it running HD into your TV, you can set up your tablet to work as, you know, like information or live blogging or something of that nature. And it all works together. And I think that despite yours and my cynicism toward this app, this is going to become a harder part of our reality than we care to admit.
I think so, too. I mean, I'm not big on it for the WWE because, let's face it, I'm not always big on the WWE product when I watch it on television. Some days it's good, and then other days it's like, why the hell do I keep watching this? Why do I put myself through this? But aside from the WWE, just about everything now has these second screen experience style apps, even video games. I mean, look at Grand Theft Auto 5. They came out with a little app called iFruit, which was their parody of, I guess, the iPhone. And you can go on there and you can add extra customization to your cars in the game. You have a little Tamagotchi-type mini game with the pet dog that's in the game Chop. And it's just one of those ways. Again, now you're having these second screen experiences to video games. World of Warcraft has an armory. You could look up information on any of your characters. You can check your auctions, check your mail, go to guild chat for free. So if you're not anywhere near a computer and you happen to have not logged in 3-4 days and you're like, you know what, my mail in the game is probably getting packed because I sold all these auctions. You could check it, get your gold, and get it back into your pack. Or if you're not in a major city, you just, boom, log out, go on the app, do what you got to do and log back in. So, I mean, it's starting to change the way that things are done in video games, in television, in movies, in music. You see it's such an integral part of our culture. And a lot of people don't realize that This is the future. It's going to continue to go this route. It's going to be where we're always sort of connected, even when we're not. Hell, you know, how many people use their phone on the toilet in the bathroom? Well, you know, what's the crazy thing about it? No, but seriously, when you think about it, I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen to you in the bathroom is you run out of toilet paper. Now you've got that phone right next to you. You can text somebody else in your house. Hey, I'm in the bathroom. You need to bring me an extra roll right now.
That's hilarious.
I mean, that's the magic of technology in this day and age, mobile technology at its finest.
That is true. That is a great analogy. That is a very, very good. And you brought up quite a few really good points, and just a couple of them that I'm going to hit on. You mentioned the second screen, it's experience, and you also mentioned, you know, sometimes I have to ask myself, why am I putting myself through this? Well, the WWE Network is going to be releasing with it the entire movie library as well. So if you got something on Raw that they're rinsing and repeating the same storyline that they did from 2012 five different times, you can go ahead and demand a movie and utilize the second screen on that, as well as watch it in the WWE app, can't you?
Yeah, basically.
So I look at this from the perspective of a win-win. Because if you don't like what's going on Raw, okay, fine, demand something else and do it that way instead. And guess what? Hey, there's something else I can watch. You know, I love watching the documentaries, the Shawn Michaels story, the Chris Jericho story, the Undertaker story, you know, all the behind the scenes, what made them who they are. Now, I know it's the WWE propaganda. I know it's a WWE film, and I know it's got the, you know, oh, this is what we want you to say, and this is the spin we want you to put on it, and, you know, well, I want to say this. Well, okay, you can say that. That's fine. You know, I know it's got the WWE spin on it, but there's still whether it's the WWE spin or not, it's still interesting watch. I like to watch that stuff. You know,
yeah.
And every once in a while you'll get one that'll come out that won't be endorsed by the WWE, but it's still a good watch. You know, I mean, which one? There was one that I watched not too long ago. Oh, it had Diamond Dallas Page in it and everything. And I don't think it was the Rise and Fall of the WCW, but it was something in it that he was hosting. And it was a really good watch.
Yeah.
You know, and it at the end it had the views expressed in this are not necessarily the views that are shared by WWE and all its, you know, subsidiaries and all that kind of mess. But, you know, the bottom line is we are getting mobile. And I touched on this with Only One Mart last week, where the Internet of Things is bringing us to a point where everything is connected. I mean, Riv, you're a couple years younger than I am, and I sit and I think about stupid shit all the time. Think about back 15 years ago. Were you carrying a cell phone at that time?
15 years ago. I got to look at the calendar, as a matter of fact. I believe that I was, but it was strictly for calls. I mean, you didn't do anything else on the phone.
20 years ago, were you carrying a cell phone?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I was carrying a pager.
So that meant when that pager went off, what did you have to do? You had to go to a payphone.
Yeah.
Or say, hey, can I borrow your phone so I can call? Right?
Yeah. It was unheard of back in that
totally
that
unheard
era.
Of. 15 years ago, you said you had a phone, but you used it for calls. Texting wasn't, I mean... 15 years ago, I was carrying a phone because I was on call a lot. I had a phone on one hip and a pager on the other because I was on call. It was a type of thing, but it was calls only. Texting wasn't, you know, if you wanted to text, it was like 10 cents a text.
Yeah.
And web surfing was unheard of.
Non-existent.
You know? And I mean, now look at us. We've got these devices on our hips that do everything that keep us so connected with everything else.
I don't know if you heard. We talked about it, I want to say about a month ago, a month and a half on Ask. Me and Johnny brought it up. But there was a topic, and this is how ingrained into society that this stuff is getting, that I believe it was Fisher-Price has created a potty that has an iPad sort of device
right
into the potty.
Yes.
And, I mean, this is – you're potty training a child, and you're basically training them to use an iPad while on the toilet, which a lot of parents are upset about because of the fact that they feel that it's a little bit too early and you're looking at putting a screen in a child's face might be a little bit of endangerment to the child, which I can agree with. But the general premise is there is what we're saying is, oh, we're trying to train everyone at a young age to already be able to work with this technology. That might be a little bit too young, but it shows you the mindset of the people developing these toys.
They're getting the kids jacked in too early is what the fear is. And I was talking to my boss, and he'll admit that he is not the most technical individual at all.
Yeah.
He pokes fun at himself every once in a while, and he's like, hey, check this out. We were out doing some we were on a call, and he's like, hey, check this out. I'm like, what? He's like, instead of pen and paper, I'm using my phone. And he left himself a note on his phone. I'm like, all right, boss, good job. Anyhow.
I do that because I have the worst handwriting ever.
Well, I do it just so I won't remember, so I won't forget about it. But I was talking to him, and he's like, you know, I had my niece and nephew over for Christmas, and they were just ripping the house up, going crazy and everything like that. So he opened up presents, and we gave them they both got a tablet for Christmas.
Yeah.
And as soon as they got that tablet in their hands, total silence.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, well, it kind of makes sense. I mean, I got my boy a tablet for Christmas, got my lady got her daughter an iPod, and it's just, it's beautiful the things that technology brings, not only us, but also our kids and the next generation.
Yeah.
Now, putting an iPad on a potty seat, I think that's a little too much. It's a little excessive, I think. But, you know, I believe that it's something that, you know, the kids will get introduced to it as soon as they do.
When they're ready. And I do think another thing is that what we need to do is, as society also, as you know, is decide when that is for our kids. Because I think that every child is different. And as a parent, that's sort of up to you when you think they're ready. Because obviously the downside of that is a lot of parents, they just sort of, here's the tablet, I'm going to walk away, and whatever you do on the internet, I'm not going to be privy to. And that's sort of a dangerous thing as well with technology as we go into this age and this era. As you know, this has led to a lot of kids engaging in some screwed up behavior because of influence of other kids who aren't so smart, who have access to these things. So I think that that's one thing that needs to be monitored, but I think that's on a per parent basis. You can't just say, oh yeah, you're 2 years old, here's an iPad, get ready. Because, I mean, you don't know what's gonna happen on that iPad. You don't know what kind of messages are gonna be sent or received or whatever. So I do think that on a parental case by case basis, you need to decide, okay, my kid is ready to have an iPad or an iPod Touch or a Nexus or the cell phone. Because, again, there's a lot of evil that goes along with that much. Now it's a matter of you have a lot of freedom on the internet that maybe you shouldn't be giving certain kids. But the problem is now, because of that, we've come into that era where it's very controversial, where people are trying to limit everyone's freedom online as far as freedom of speech, freedom of information is starting to change. And that's one of the scary things going forward as well.
Well, even being monitored on everything that you do.
Yeah. Well, okay. The NSA, I mean.
Yeah, the NSA. Now, I gave my son a tablet, and I installed, before I gave it to him, I installed some apps to where I can see everything that he's doing. A, because I'm his dad. And B, when he had a tablet before, he got himself into a little bit of a trouble with it.
Yeah, and because of the fact, I mean, let's face it, when you're under 18,
oh, yeah.
You don't have, you don't have that right to privacy from your parents.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Your parents have the right to know what you're doing, mm-hmm. because as a parent, you know that if he does something wrong, the first thing the authorities are going to say is, where were you when he was doing this, this, and this?
Exactly. And any parent that says otherwise to that statement, you don't deserve to be a parent as far as I'm concerned. You need to know what your kids are doing. I mean, that's just all there is to, and I'm not going to get into parenting 101 with everybody.
Obviously. But
parents need to know what their kids are doing in this, especially in the space where everything is so connected. Okay.
Exactly.
My boy, he got Saints Row the Third for Christmas and he loves playing it. Okay. He looked up some cheats and some hacks and some codes for it and everything like that. And I was in there watching him. I was like, time out. He's like, what? I'm like, I know you've got a code in there for this. I was like, you need to shut that off.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. You know, and he knows better than to argue with me. If I put my foot down and say, this is the way it's going to be, you know, I'm going to tell you how it is. You say yes and do it. That's just all there is to it. And
I mean,
it's not like I'm going to be unreasonable with him. Because he and I have come to an understanding that, you know, anything that I ask him to do, it's not just because I'm being a douche. It's because, A, I'm his dad, and B, there's some things he's not ready for yet.
Exactly. And I think that you brought up a good point with technology, is that there are apps and there are abilities now to, okay, fine, you got to go to work and you got to leave, you know, your child at home and he's got an iPod or an iPad. But like you said, so do you. You have a phone, and with that phone, you have apps that allow you to check what he's looking at. And I think that that's very important. It's very underrated, and I think a lot of parents should be aware of it.
There are a lot of parents who – and there's people who ask me all the time, well, how do I keep an eye on my kid, and how do I do this, and how do I do that on both Android and iOS? Okay, now for Microsoft, I haven't fully gotten into that space, but BlackBerry, I know they have capabilities too, and I'm constantly telling people, look, here's the real simple way to do it. And I walk them through simple steps. I was like, Google, recently they upgraded their device manager. Now, I used to be able to monitor all of my devices from my laptop. Now I can do it from my phone. And as a matter of fact, I created a generic family account. I have everybody on that account. I don't have anything going through it, but I have everybody on that account to where at any given time I can log into my phone, log into that account, and see where everybody is and what they're doing.
Exactly.
Is that a little creepy? Slightly, but as a father, as a dad, as a husband, I feel that that is my place, and everybody in the house respects me because of it.
Exactly.
They're like, you know, hey, at least somebody does. At least somebody cares enough to do this, you know?
Exactly.
Everywhere my boy goes with his tablet, he knows how to utilize Google Hangouts to get in contact with me. And he knows all he needs is a Wi-Fi spot. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know, the best principle of technology being used to make sure that your kid doesn't get in any trouble is a little movie that came out a few years ago called Taken. Look how far technology
took
Liam Neeson to his kid.
I mean,
you're going to kidnap my daughter? I'm going to go through her phone. I'm going to grab the SIM card, find out who's on the picture with her in the SIM card, and hunt you the hell down.
I will
that's
find
the world
you,
that we live in now.
And I will kill you. I'm sorry. That's... The first Taken, Liam Neeson is a damn badass in that movie. And I know this isn't a movie podcast, but holy shit, the things that he did in that movie, my God.
But the craziness is, with the right technology, that can be done.
Exactly.
I mean, not killing everybody in France, but, I mean, as far as monitoring and finding out exactly where your kid is and what's going on, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. You don't have to be a CIA agent in order to find that out. You just have to care enough to download the right app in this day and age.
That's right. And in the Google space, Android Device Manager is a free app in the Google Play Store. And you can also get a hold of – what's the other one? There's another one. device manager, and then just make sure that you have everything enabled in your administrative account to where you can lock your device, you can remote wipe, all that kind of good stuff. For more information, log in to google.com/administration. That's your dashboard, and you can set all that stuff up. And the easiest way, as far as I'm concerned, the easiest way to keep track of your devices, create a generic family account. Just a generic. You don't have to sign everybody up for the email or the calendar or nothing like that, but create a generic family account, sync it up with the device manager. That way you can keep tabs on everybody and make sure people know how to keep in contact with everybody else. My son, he doesn't have a cell phone. He's got his tablet. As long as he's got his tablet, he's good. First question's out of his mouth if he's going to be away from the house for any extended amount of time. Are they going to have internet? I mean, exactly. That's what he asked me. Even before I moved to the university space, I was like, you know, do you mind if I've got a date tonight? Do you mind if I go out after you go to bed? I mean, he's 12. You know, he's at that age where he can mind himself for a couple hours. And he's like, well, are you going to leave the internet on? Yep. Okay. Well, if I need to get a hold of you, I know I can. All right. That's cool. You know, Illinois, the way the laws are set up in Illinois is you can leave your children alone as long as they have a way to get in contact with somebody. You know,
yeah,
it's not like I'm going to go jump the state or something like that. I just wanted to go out for a couple hours. I had a date, wanted to go out and have a good evening or something like that. You know, and he wound up, hey, Dad, can you come home early? Da 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 da. I was like, okay, well, I've got to go. I hate to cut this short, but I've got to go. And that's just the way that it worked out. But, you know, keeping tabs on your kids, especially in this mobile space, as the Internet of Things, which was, if I had to put a theme on CES, no one's officially dubbed it as CES last week, but if I had to put a theme on it, I would. Being connected with everything else, and especially in this mobile space, you know, we've talked about the WWE app. We've talked about WWE going mobile. We've talked about going mobile with your kids. We've talked about how, you know, mobility and interconnectivity has evolved over the years, Jason. And just, you know, being connected with everything, it's a way of life for us. And now, granted, getting connected at 2 years old, I think – is a little, I personally think it's a little bit young, just for the simple fact that most people would put their kids on that tablet or on that device as a virtual babysitter. Now, under the particular, under certain guidelines, okay, for example, my lady runs a daycare, okay, and current thing with just about everybody is everybody's walking around with headphones because everybody's listening to music in some way, shape, or form. Well, there's a little 4-year-old that she watches who got an iPad, an iPod, one of the little iPods, the itty bitty ones. And she listens to like educational music and stuff like that, but she can work that thing just fine at 4 years old.
Exactly.
Now, I never claim to be the big runner of any type of technology. It might take me a little bit of time to figure out how to work this or that or whatever. And matter of fact, I've had this iPad in my possession for a week and I'm still learning things about it. But I tell you what, it's a great little device. Matter of fact, this show's being mastered on an iPad. How does that make you feel? I never thought I would say that. Honestly, yeah. I never thought I would say this show mastered on iPad.
That sounds like sleeping with the enemy. I mean,
we've gone toe to toe concerning iOS versus Android, but here's the thing. I had to make this jump because iPad is becoming more and more integrated in the audiovisual production space.
Yeah, and that's always been one of Apple's, I have to give them that, as bad as I hate to give it to them, it's been their strong point. I mean, even in the 90s, You know, if you wanted to do any sort of serious audio video work, you were on a Mac.
Exactly. I mean,
that's just how it went. You were not on a Windows, you were not on Windows device. Now, that's not to say you can't do it on Windows. Nowadays, Windows has come up, but for the most part, Apple knows that that's basically the niche. That's where they initially hooked a lot of people, a lot of graphic designers, a lot of people who work with studio quality work. They used Macintosh. And these are the people that they need to keep hooked, as basically we're seeing the numbers. We've got Android coming up, I mean, to the point where it's just about even.
Yep. Absolutely. We most certainly do. And the thing about it is, I was in one of my classes, we have labs on Fridays, and for whatever reason, for lab, they put us in the Windows lab for our production lab. But the beauty of it is, everybody sits down, and what do they pull out? They don't pull out their Windows laptop. They pull out their MacBook Airs. They pull out their MacBooks. They pull out their iPads. They don't even touch the PCs. And that's not some of the class. That's not most of the class. Everybody.
Yeah. I mean, I might be in the minority of old school type of people that, I mean, and this is just me. I still love my laptop to death. I cannot replace a laptop with a tablet exactly because of the fact that I like having the hard keyboard. I like having that kind of hardware, but we're starting to see those hybrids. I've seen them all over the place now. You have the hybrid laptop that turns into a tablet sort of thing.
Yep. I mean,
that's another thing that they're trying to do to transition or phase the laptop out of existence. But I mean, I'll tell you, it's just surprising to see. One point the laptop was the forefront of mobile technology.
Yes, it
now,
was.
Now you've got the tablet.
And you think about it, laptops, how they've evolved over the years. I mean, it used to be a laptop. You picked it up, you had to carry the thing with two hands. Now people are raising seven kinds of hell if a laptop weighs more than 2 pounds.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, I run an Asus G74.
Uh-huh.
It is not necessarily the lightest laptop on the market. It is a mothership of a laptop. It's a very large screen, very heavy. I mean, it's basically a replacement desktop. If you're somebody like me that's on the go and you basically want to be able to carry a desktop's worth of devices, this is your deal. It's very heavy, but I prefer it that way. I guess I'm into bigger and clunkier, but a lot of people are more into smaller and sleeker. I just find that easier to lose and easier to drop and break.
Right. Yeah, but see, a lot of things – well, what I've become known for, I don't really see this as much on the university space as I thought I would, but you mentioned you can't bring yourself to the tablet because you need that tactile keyboard. Have you considered a tablet with a Bluetooth keyboard? Because I utilize that often. I mean, I haven't carried a physical laptop with me probably close to 2 years.
Yeah.
I've got my tablet. I've got my keyboard. I'm good. What do you think about that one?
That's true.
I mean, you've got the Note 2, right?
Yeah.
So you could easily carry a Bluetooth keyboard, pair it with your Note 2, and off you go. Right?
That's true. That is true. But I will say I do love the Note 2. I mean, that's one of the devices. And as you know, this is where I sort of go into the – bigger is better motif. Now, a lot of people, as you know, as a Note user yourself, I don't want the Note. It's too big. And, you know, I've said before, that's the reason I love it, because of the fact that, hey, you're going to notice if this is missing from your pocket.
Exactly.
Not to mention, the fact is, if you're a guy and you have large fingers and large hands, well, larger screen means slightly larger keyboard on the touch screen. I have a lot less errors. I still have them from time to time. But for the most part, the intuition that I have with the Note 2 is a lot better than if I were running a Galaxy S3 or as I was prior, the Galaxy S2. So I do like the fact that the Note, I feel, is more optimized. It's a manlier phone,
yes,
in my opinion, than the iPhone, than the Galaxy series. And not to mention, since the 4.3 update, it feels like the keyboard has gotten even a little bit larger, which is all good for me.
That 4.3 update, are you using a keyboard overlay or are you using the Samsung? Default.
I'm using the default Samsung.
Okay. rumor, if you look into the breakdown of the 4.3 update, they improved the prediction on it. They didn't get the SwiftKey integration, but if you can download the Google keyboard, which has some SwiftKey integration built into it to even increase your predictions and your spell correct. I'm an avid endorser of SwiftKey. I've used it. I still use it. That's the best $4 I ever spent, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to productivity, because it's a bang-up job when it comes to spell check and efficiency and predictions and all that kind of good stuff. Plus, with syncing with the cloud, it does really good that way as well. But, you know, the 4.3, you got that last month, right? You tweeted out of last month, hey, 4.3 T-Mobile for the Note 2. Hoorah!
Yeah.
So let me ask you this really quick, Riv. With 4.3 just now getting out to the Note 2 series, 4.4 being on the books, and if I look at my little chart here, 4.4 KitKat has a 1.4% market share. Jelly Bean 4.1 is 35.9, 4.2 is 15.4, 4.3 is 7.8. Question I have to ask to you, with Jelly Bean at 4.3 at 7.8% distribution, Gingerbread's still falling. It's not gone yet, but it's still falling. It's 21.2%. With that in mind, do you think there's a push to move some of these devices by Samsung to get to 4.4?
Yeah, I think there's going to be. I mean, we've said it before. Basically, now you've got all sorts of different versions of Android running, and that's going to be a problem because some apps work really well on earlier versions of Android. Some do not. So you have to get everybody sort of on the same page, so to speak, or as close to the same page as possible. Or at the very least, people are going to have to start updating their apps to say, this app is not compatible with under 4.3.
Right.
Because, I mean, there are some apps that I have that don't work as of 4.3, mostly coming out of Square Enix, the video game apps. Final Fantasy Dimensions, you can't get into battle. It's a black screen. It's been that way ever since. It's been, and 4.3 has been out a while now, and Squaresoft does not fix it, which is irritating when you spend $15 on a game on Google Play and it doesn't work.
Right.
But, I mean, those are the problems you're starting to run into because everyone is not on the same page. Square made the video game, and they sort of walked away, and they haven't checked, say, oh, yeah, there's a new Android out. We should check to make sure that that still works on Android devices.
Still doesn't. You know, yeah, and then that's definitely something that's sure, you know, are they – but, see, a lot of times, and Samsung's really guilty of doing this, they'll skip a build and just go straight on to something else in an effort to, I don't know, maintain stability, cut down on overhead, make things better. Well, it's inoperable right now, so they'd have to do something to fix it now, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. Forget that thought. That was a wrong tangent. So, you know, you're on the 4.3, which gives you the SNOX, which gives you the compatibility with Galaxy Gear, which gives you all the Samsung tweaks and twists and turns in the 4.3 space. So let me ask you this one. Last time you were on, we had a pretty lengthy discussion concerning wearables, how you're excited about the watch space. You want to see what's going on. Samsung has officially gone on the books, citing that when they announce their Samsung Galaxy S5, which I believe is supposed to be sometime late quarter one, March, April, sometime in that space, they're also going to be announcing Galaxy Gear 2. Also, the folks at Pebble have released their second device at this point in time, dubbed Pebble Steel, which still, in my opinion, looks a little bit big, but that's just me. I'm not a watch wearer. Do either of these devices, Jason, do they appeal to you? Or let me back this up really quick. Did you get a Galaxy Gear for Christmas?
No.
Okay. So with all as you don't have a Galaxy Gear yet, with the information that you have about wearables being in the forefront of everybody's mind, you know, Pebble Steel, it's on the move. Galaxy Gear 2, that's going to be released here in the next couple months. Do either of these devices, do they look enticing to you at this point?
I don't know. I'm just sort of to the point, it's nice, but at the same time, I don't see that I'll be jumping on that bandwagon anytime soon. For me, I think I'm pretty good with just the phone and, you know, my mobile, obviously my laptop and other mobile devices of that sort. It's interesting to watch it unfold, but I'm not really sure if I want to take that plunge quite yet. I do want to see what comes out of it, because we're starting to see a lot of changes basically in the way things are done, even in society by the law. There was a woman who, for example, got a ticket because she wore she had her Google Glass on.
Right.
And somebody thought she was browsing the internet while driving her car.
Right.
And she actually wasn't, because the police weren't aware, you could turn it off. And just, you're still wearing it on your head. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're browsing the internet. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, we got to see how that's going to affect everything.
Now, most of these devices have smaller screens, referring to the watches. So let me ask you this. You know, we've done a lot of talking about WWE and streaming the network and things like that. What if they came out with a companion app to where you could stream content to your watch instead of your phone? Yes, no?
I think it's going to be interesting to see how that works. I mean, obviously, because now you've got the watch where you're going to be able to stream data to it. It just amazes me. I mean, I never thought we'd say that about our cell phones, but how's it going to evolve with the watch? Are people going to take to it? We've seen people try to get watch technology moving before, whether it's watch phones, whether it's video games on the watch. Hasn't exactly always panned out, and I think that's because a lot of people, there's that sect of people that just, they don't like wrist watches, sorry.
Right.
But it'll be interesting to see how that goes. The fact that it's there is nifty. The fact that it's an option is nifty. But I don't know. It's sort of iffy because of the fact that, again, the watch is not 100% of the market either. I mean, because you've got people who wear watches and people who abhor wearing watches.
Right, yeah. And I used to – I remember when I was younger, I never left home without my watch. I mean, I needed a watch. I needed to know what time it was because, you know, I had it at this time. I got to be at lunch. At this time, I got to be at class. This time, I got to be at work. This time, you know, my life was so synced up on time. And then as I started carrying a cell phone, I stopped wearing a watch. Just, it was a gradual, it was like a night and day type thing where you snap your fingers and, oh, no more watch because he's got a phone. No, it wasn't like that. It was one of those things where, oh, I forgot my watch. Well, hey, if I need to check the time, I can look at my phone. So, oh, duh, there's a clock on my phone. You know, so it was one of those gradual transition type things. And as I don't know, there's a lot of people out there that are not happy with the movement of the watch. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I've gone and I've seen the demos of these devices. I haven't actually used these devices, but I've got enough information to make a pretty educated decision based on the information that's out there that watch technology isn't there yet. Okay? I mean, yeah, sure. My watch vibrates. I can look at it. You've got a message from your wife. Okay. So I've got to pull my phone to figure out the message. Another device, you've got a message from your wife. Pick up milk on your way home. Okay. You've got mail from this sender. I've still got to pull my phone. It's not a complete notification yet. But
exactly.
I think it's making a step. Okay. Galaxy Gear, less than stellar reviews. Okay? I think the fact that they're pushing a Galaxy Gear 2 so soon after the initial Galaxy Gear, that gives the message that the comeback that Samsung wanted off of the first Galaxy Gear wasn't anywhere near what they wanted, because they had Galaxy Gear selling with the Note 3, and then all of a sudden they're selling the Galaxy Gear by itself, and then all of a sudden, oh, hey, guess what? Never mind, Galaxy Gear 2. It's coming out with the Note 5, or the Galaxy S5. You know? So they're not there yet.
Yeah, but you know,
go ahead.
I'll tell you what I'm worried about with Samsung, is that one of the things that I really dislike about Apple, is the fact that they've basically gone to the point where they are totally iPhoned out every year, when it's unnecessary, when they could have just come out with a software update. When I hear something like the Gear 2 is already out, when the Gear 1 feels like it's not quite perfected yet, it makes me start to think that we're going to have that problem. We're going to have the problem where Samsung, because they feel that they should do what Apple does, is going to start releasing something every year just for the sake of doing so. And that's something that Samsung needs to avoid. They don't need to fall into that pitfall, because right now I think what Samsung has that works in their favor is the fact that it's quality over quantity. Don't start becoming Apple in the regard that you feel you have to have something out every year just because. Well, that's bad for the consumer.
If you think about it, Samsung releases, it seems like they release at least two devices a month. Samsung has become the number one distributor just for the simple fact they have so many devices, and the width of their product line is just so vast. So, you know, here's something that I was thinking about earlier today, and we haven't even touched our show notes, and I think I'm going to wind up just dismissing it. We'll put them off till next week because I've invited you back for next week already and things of that nature. But let me ask you this, and I've got an opinion on this, and I'll get into this here in a minute, and this is something that I really see a lot. People who carry cell phones, smartphones, high-end smart devices as a fashion statement.
That's the absolute biggest just crock ever. I don't understand why anyone would if you're trying to impress somebody else by having – I mean, it's starting to become where your phone is your penis size. And I think that's a problem. I mean, there are people who actually think it's a status symbol. And these are the same people that buy, like, fucking 12 types of shoes per year and spend $250 on some Jordans. I mean, why would you do this? Don't buy technology that's going to go to waste. Because of the fact that it's not a fashion statement, you just look like an idiot. Oh, I bought an iPhone 5, and I didn't pay child support this month, but I have the new iPhone because it has the Wi-Fis. What are you even saying?
Yeah, oh my goodness, here we go. Here it's going to loop all the way back once again. What's more important to you, the device or your kids? You know, I understand that everybody's got a different view when it comes to child support and stuff like that. But, you know, phones as a status symbol is just dumb, okay? My boss, once again, I use him as an example because he's a great example. He carries an iPhone 5. He doesn't use all of it because, A, he doesn't know everything it's capable of, nor does he have somebody that can show him everything that it's capable of. And just hanging around me and stuff like that, he's like, you know, you really know about this stuff. I'm like, well, yeah, I do. And I met a buddy of his. This was a couple months ago. And he's like, Piper, tell him about yourself. I was like, okay. So I went into like a 30-minute, very truncated explanation of what I do. And my boss looked at me. He's like, you're forgetting something. Like, avid paintballer, material handler, go to school, what? He's like, your podcast? I'm like, oh, yeah, I host a mobile tech radio podcast. He's like, if there's a question you have about your cell phone, he's like, ask him. He'll probably figure it out for you. He's like, you know, by the way, I need to sit down with you so you can, you know, I've got questions about this. So, you know, sharing the information is the whole thing. Carrying it around to carry it around for nothing is, you know, that just, that doesn't make sense to me. Okay, we've got these computers, we've got these devices, we've got this capability to do great things with our devices. Okay, yes, I carry my Note 2. Yes, I carry a Nexus 7. Yes, I carry an iPad with me, iPad Mini Retina with me, just about everywhere I go. Why? Unfortunately, because I need to. I mean, I got to a point where I was like, well, maybe I can leave one of my tablets at home. No, I can't, unfortunately, because one class needs a Nexus, one class needs an iPad. I'm still working on figuring out a way to get to where I can get the information off the, or access the information off the Nexus on the pad and go back and forth. But carrying these devices, and you said, you said something in there and you kind of broke up, but I think I got the whole thing. Where carrying a device that's compensating for penis size, and I, that's funny, that's ironic, that caught me a little bit off guard, but coming from you, I should have expected that. You know, carrying these devices. I mean, the little smartphones I could understand because, you know, you can get a Android smartphone for like $10 if you go to the right store. I mean, if you go to T-Mobile, you could probably get one for free. But, you know, having the brand new latest and greatest isn't always the best thing. I mean, you've got a Note 2, I've got a Note 2. The Note 2, newsflash, is last year's device. There was nothing on the Note 3 that compelled me to get. I looked at that and I was just like, I mean, I sat here and I watched the press release. It wasn't anything that big that I can't do now on my Note 2.
Hey, guys, the Note 3, the shape is slightly rounder.
Yeah.
If you lube it up, it'll go in much more comfortably than the Note 2 will. I mean, that's the extent of it.
But this is where... this is where people come back to me and like, Piper, really, how many of you are out there? I'm not joking. Old School said it to me a couple weeks ago when I had him on. We pre-recorded a show to discuss Microsoft. And it's mind-blowing. Ever since he said it, everybody is saying it. My lady says it. Honey, how many of you are really out there? My boss says it. Really? How many of you are out there? Does it matter? Well,
yeah, I mean,
it does matter because there is that 5% of geeks that are in the world. Okay, so I know that there's more, but is there another one out there who gets the device, who uses it to its potential, and doesn't just have it on their hip as a status symbol?
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad that people let that go to waste. I mean, if I tell my mom, for example, if you're not going to use a smartphone for any purposes, why did you buy one? You could buy a phone that just makes calls for much cheaper.
Right.
I mean, again, as I said earlier, and as bad as it sounds, it's the penis size thing. You know, I have a large penis. I have the top of the line phone. But you're not using it for anything of relevance. Now, I sort of had a question for you. One of the things that I'm sort of noticing that isn't working the way that it used to is I don't know if you had this problem since 4.3, that your smart screen, smart stay is no longer functioning, at least on mine. I don't know if that's something
really
you come up with. Yeah, smart screen... I turn it on, and it doesn't even notice I'm looking at it. Smart screen stays on as long as you're looking at it. It doesn't do it.
The 4.3 build, at least with on the boards that I've looked at, you're talking about the eye detection, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it has been known to have problems. Samsung hasn't reported any issue or any patch for it yet, at least in the 4.3 build. I think right now the biggest focus Samsung is they're trying to get 4.3 out on all of their devices. And yeah. I think it was a bit of a hurry up because they wanted to get it out there for Galaxy Gear support.
Yeah, so they were going to miss deadline otherwise. They really pushed. It went from we have no idea when it's coming out to, oh, hey, it's out.
Yeah, it's out in time for Christmas. So guess what? All you Note 2 users, you can put Galaxy Gear on your Christmas list and you'll get it. You know, and as far as the smart screen goes, A, I've never used it, but B, I did hear there was problems with it, and as according to the Samsung Mobility guys, there is no report of a fix at this time.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. Like I said, I've never used it because I didn't like it. But I have heard of some people who liked it and, you know, they liked the way that it scrolled and the stay and the screen and the way it worked and things like, it was just one of those things where, you know.
You don't want to feel like the phone is watching you.
Yeah. It's that creep factor. It's the same reason why I'm not going to get an Xbox One. And this is.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But you know, the reason I like it is because of the fact that sometimes at night, I'll admit when I'm laying in my bed and I don't want to get up and use my laptop, walk across the room, usually leave the laptop on the desk, sort of to the side. But my phone is right next to me and I have a habit of reading pages on the internet, whether it's Wikipedia or any other information, and I tend to read stuff that's a little bit long. So the problem is that I'm just staring at it without really scrolling or doing anything, and then boom, oh, look, my screen timeout. And I don't want to set it for longer than 30 seconds because I don't like it to be on for like a minute when I'm not doing anything relevant. But it's one of those things, it's always stopped me from having to change the screen duration manually when I do things like that. So for that, it's been kind of useful, and it's a shame that it's not functioning correctly. But speaking of people watching you and everything else, I don't know if you heard about this. And again, this might be more old school's territory, but there's a movie that came out that I think that the premise might be interesting to you because of the fact that we've talked about adapting technology, changing technology. I guess it's an independent film called Her with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson, who voices an operating system which is highly intelligent, which he falls in love with.
Oh, really?
And it is. I watched it, and it was kind of silly because you figure what kind of idiot is desperate enough to fall in love with his operating system? When you think about it, not really the love aspect, but could you imagine that one day they were going to have the technology to have a highly sentient operating system similar to, if you've seen the Iron Man movies, it's very similar to Iron Man's dynamic with Jarvis. Jarvis in the comics is a butler. In the movies, Jarvis is an AI that controls his suit, his home computer, his lights in his house, the whole nine. And that's sort of where this movie Her sort of fit in. Scarlett Johansson was an AI. He would do it when he had a problem and it would talk back like a human. You know, it would organize his mail based on his like personal preferences as a person. I mean, and it's funny because I think one day we are going to have the technology or we have something of that nature where the technology is so smart that we can actually set it to do things like our own personal, assistant or slave.
Kind of like Google Now.
Yeah.
Except it's embodied and that's just, you know, it's embodiment. That starts to get into the line of creepy to me.
I think that gets into the line of where we get killed by the AI, like in Terminator. Skynet level era.
See, I loved watching iRobot with Will Smith. Uh-huh. And here we go. We're getting on movies again. Anyhow, I loved watching iRobot with Will Smith. Okay, but having a conversation with an electronic device is kind of creepy. I talked about it last week with Only One Mart, where an individual at CES, he had a conversation with a washing machine, a text message conversation with the washing machine. That's a little, I mean, how you doing? Oh, I'm bored. I wish I were someplace else. Da, da, da. You know, if you're going to receive the notification from an appliance as a notification, that's one thing. A conversation, though, that's a little weird. I mean, falling in love with an AI, I mean, I look at Jarvis in Iron Man, okay? And I'm like, the geek in me looks at that and says, that's badass, because he can talk to the device and the device knows what to do. There's no emotional bond there. It's, hey, I'm telling you to do this, and this is what you do. And boom, it does it. Google Now, same thing. I tell it what to do. It does it. I ask it a question. It gives me a response. A, B, A, B. I tell you what to do. You do it. Boom. Done. Okay? No emotional attachment. Exactly. Okay? There's no chance that I'm going to fall for you, A, because I've got a woman in my life already. Thank you. But B, walking around, that's just Terminator, creep factor. What was that other show? Where the high school kids wrote a computer program and it manifested itself into their girlfriend or something like that.
I know what you're talking about. I just can't put my finger on the name.
What was it?
But when we talk about that, the thing is, again, it goes into the realm of also, hey, it's programmed to do that. There's not actual emotion. It's never going to replace an actual human being in that regard. So it amazes me that, and you know that somewhere out there, developers are working on it. Hey, we'll develop emotions into our technology. Please don't.
Yeah, Please don't develop emotions. I don't even use emoticons.
No, I to think be honest. At that point, yeah, I think at that point you're playing God with technology. I think when you're trying to develop it to have emotions or feelings or anything of that regard. But it was, side note, when I saw that movie, I thought about, God, you know, because here he was, and this operating system was, again, integrated into his mobile phone, integrated into his home computer, and he went on, get this, Piper, dates with the operating system where all he did is put his little phone in his little chest pocket with the camera facing outward to see what he was seeing and discuss it with his operating system. And
oh,
I'm like,
my God.
This is, and the worst part is it got to a point where he was like telling his friends, yeah, I'm dating my operating system. And there was like no shame or judgment from most people in that movie. That's cool. We should go on a double date. I'm like, ugh. And it scares me because of the fact that one day I think we're going to get to that point where there are people that are just so, technology can be a beautiful thing, but that was one of those signs that one day it may go a little overboard in certain departments, and that's one department that I think that they need to stay away from.
Yeah, that just screams Terminator. It does. Where AI and sentient electronics and emotional attachments and too trusting and yeah, that just screams Terminator to me, and that is not. Yeah, that's not high on my list of things to do. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the idea of nuclear detonation.
No, I'm not either. And I just I'm sitting here reading the bios on IMDb and some of the hits that are coming up on Google, and you know, a Clofon and things like that. I'm just like, in the space that I'm in and the technologist that I am, now don't get me wrong, Scarlett Johansson, smoking hot, but. Yeah,
but an operating system with her voice doesn't do it for me. I don't care how many faked, sexual performance, whatever, are in that film. And I think some nerds will go there and they'll get excited about that. But at the end of the day, it's an operating system.
It's all ones and zeros. Somebody had to write that. And just exactly. Like somebody had to write it, somebody can unplug it. End of story.
Exactly. Yeah, I had to bring that up because I knew you'd get a kick out of the craziness of that, of somebody just sort of speaking that into existence. Because when I heard about it, I'm like, why would someone even speak that into existence? And I acquired a copy of the movie. I will not say how I acquired the movie in case the NSA is listening to me, but I watched the movie and there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's creepy.
I was listening to something and they're talking about how the Star Trek computer is becoming one step closer to where we are. I mean, the ultimate goal is to be able to walk in, say, computer, boom, it's there, and then you solve your problem that way. And then this is just turning the camera on, putting your phone in your pocket. That's just...
I love my phone, but I'm not in love with my phone.
I love my phone too. I really like what it does for my day and helps me get through it and makes my day a lot easier to manage and stuff like that. But it's got a battery. Okay. I would never, ever consider forming a romantic emotional bond with something that has a battery.
Well, I agree.
Or something that has to be charged, or something that's got a plug, or something that at the base of everything, it's nothing but ones and zeros.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing but ones and zeros.
Wow. People are just... I'm telling you, people are getting a little crazy out there.
They are. They are. And you know, we're going to get a little bit crazy, too. I've got to get up early tomorrow. We're past the hour mark. Jason Rivera, I want to thank you very much for hanging out with me. Really quick, plugs and shout-outs. Hit it.
Hey, be sure to check out listentothisshow.com, where we basically home of Ask What Riven Landon every week as well. We post articles, wrestling recaps. We're actually looking for writers, so if people want to post articles on the site and are pretty good at it, they can come post reviews, post movie reviews, music reviews, game reviews, articles, rants about what they want to talk about, stuff that pertains to the show. Obviously, we'll find clips and segments from Acid with Riven Landon, which you can find on blogtalkradio.com/CS every week, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Wednesday nights. Be sure to check that out. Of course, we have youtube.com/AskCast. Mixcloud.com. We're basically available everywhere. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Podomatic, where you can get our RSS feed for those of you who don't use Apple products. So we're accessible pretty much everywhere. Everywhere you turn, there we are. So be sure to check that out. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @RealJasonRivera and the Ask account @AskCSDC on Twitter.
Jason Rivera is also the man of 1,000 Twitter handles. So if you're not quite sure how to get a hold of him, just type something in with Jason, and I'm sure it'll get to him in some way, shape, or form. Tune in next week. Jason Rivera comes back for more stuff. I don't have the slightest idea if we're going to get into the show notes or not next week. It just seemed like this went from one thing to another to another to another. But I'm sure something of pop culture will avail to our senses between now and then. Right here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Make sure you're checking us out. Just log on once a day. Okay? All I ask, once every 24 hours, see what's new. We've always got new stuff coming and going, and we are here all the time. From all of us to all of you, I am Piper the DJ on Trending Mobile Technology. This was episode 70. I'm taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.